Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Cool. Is that a song? Are you ready for a coffee?
Yes.
Interestingly, pretty much everything that we've expressed in the last hour is the sermon. In my experience of being a Christian since 1986, I found more profit by doing love than by saying love. In my experience of being a Christian since 1986, I found I have received the tangible nature of God that is love, because he's used skin to communicate it, not a thing to communicate it. Does that make some sense to somebody? So I found the last hour challenging because it challenges my leadership culture, which is all things need to be done in the right kind of way. But actually, who cares? Not that we want to throw out everything out of the window with the baby that goes, where am I? But what we've just been doing in the last hour for me is how we love one another. Let me put it this way. How can we have the tremendous testimony and the tremendous message that you get from Albert and Lorna, hello, without A, someone to talk to about it, and also a setting where it can take place? Doesn't the Bible say that marriage, in one sense, is like being in the body of Christ? I'm married to my body. Whether we're single or whether we're married, the Bible says as soon as we give our lives to Jesus and become part of the local expression of that, we become in a marriage agreement with those people. I think that's quite powerful, don't you? That's quite straight. You might have noticed that a couple of guys aren't around. Larry and Judy are up in Scotland visiting some family. Why? Because they're in covenant with them. They love God. They want to serve them. And we miss them. Of course we do. But when they come back tomorrow, it will be like they never left. Well, that's what family is like, isn't it? I met a couple of guys that I first met when I took a tour to Israel in 1995. They come from Australia. They don't talk the same language as me. They're multi-millionaire people, so they don't even come from the same financial background as me. They're odd people, like most of these guys from there. They're strange. They run on a different track, but I love them. And they turned up for our house on Wednesday afternoon. Haven't seen them for 3 years. It was like they'd never been away. We were talking in the same level of openness and honesty that we always have. Why? Because we're joined in Christ. This is really funny. I only had a smartphone just shortly before I went to Australia, and I inadvertently left it on sat-nav. And I was walking on Bondi Beach, and it came up and says, you're 12,462 miles away from your home. I thought, how cool is that? But that's costing me a fortune, right? Data roll, so I switched it off really quickly. It does. But it's amazing how the connectivity that being in the body of Christ brings. How else could we see and value and champion? I could feel the love coming. When the bloke stood up, I believe it's time for blokes to stand up. I think the blokes would benefit and the women would be blessed. So if you are of the male gender, and you should know that, if you're not, then maybe you should go to the ladies group. But if you are, then I can exhort you to let's live out our covenant of love with someone. The amazing thing about the body of Christ is that I think it should be, and I'm not saying that it's perfectly like this, but I think it should be the place where we can fall out. It should be the place where we can get stuff wrong. It should be the place where we can muck up. In my experience of knowing Jesus, is that he's proven his love time and time and time and time and time again, not out of his perfection, but my imperfection when I've gone to God and said, I'm sorry, I've mucked it up. So in other words, the nature of God's love is to give. And the first thing he gives is forgive. So I love the fact that he's huddled us all together in this funny building as part of this great big church. And part of the way that we test our love and our friendship is that when we get stuff wrong, we put it right really quickly. I upset somebody particularly this morning, and the Lord said to me, I'm not going to let you speak until you put it right. Okay? I'm the leader. It's not my responsibility. Nil point. I put my foot in it, I put my foot out of it. Because the very first thing that I found knowing Jesus is that he put his foot in where I feared to tread, and he put right what I'd done wrong. So partly he's taking responsibility. So I love the body of Christ. I love you guys. I love the heart, the spirit here. But I found, and you will find, that we only really know how valuable love is when we test it. Not testing God's love in the sense of is it real, but applying God's love to our own experience to prove that it's strong and they're healthy. I have this adage, I learned it a couple of years ago, is that if stuff hasn't killed you, it's done you good. Is that okay? So actually, I think the body of Christ is a tremendous environment where we should be able to get stuff wrong, because there's grace there to put it right. Sometimes we don't all align up with our thinking and with our theology. I mean, one of the things in the blokes group is I've probably learned as much about eschatology in the last 10 weeks as I ever wanted to know. What's everyone looking at Colin? Hallelujah. I mean, I never said anything, mate. They just picked it up, okay? I thought that was a job of the Holy Spirit, but that's absolutely fine. I'm happy to readjust my theology to suit yours, but not that much. So anyway, do you know what I'm saying? I've found in my own walk in this last 10 weeks, 12 weeks, is that, how can I put this? I don't go to small group, I am small group. I don't go to a men's small group, I'm part of the bloke stuff. And I love it. I love it. I love it so much that I've probably been more real with them than I have been with myself for many years. And there's an element of trust. And I think the second thing about love is love gives first and love trusts all things. Now we're getting into a bit of theology now, Colin. You'll be okay. End times theology. All right. Follow the most excellent way. Desire spiritual gifts and walk in love. So we're just going to talk a little bit about how do we express this love in the body of Christ? I think through giving, through forgiving, through trust. Second person who isn't here is my wife. And she's actually doing a training day because in October she's walking 35, 40 kilometres of the Great Wall of China. But she's doing that, not for her, but to raise money for somebody else that hasn't got any. So she's away, but actually she's part of who we are. She's part of our heart. She's part of our spirit. And she knows that. We know that. But the body of Christ is a tremendous contextual setting to find out what real relationships really look like. I've had all kinds of relationships outside of Christ, some of them good, bad, and most of them pretty ugly. But I've only found that true relationship can only be found in the body of Christ. If you look at people like Nehemiah, who found this tremendous principle that he was able to activate every gift from jewelers to goldsmiths to people that just got rid of the refuge. But that love connection, that physical tasking, that let's do something together, in a very short space of time, he was able to build a wall. Why? Because there was love being worked out through people. And we can kind of take some of those scriptures out and say, you know, they prayed a lot. Yeah, I know they loved a lot too. Because another thing about what I love about the body of Christ is that prayer becomes normal. So Myrna stands up and she's not kind of giving you a bit of a window of this is what we do. She's giving you a window of this is who I am. This is why this is what we do. So mate, if you want to get a bit more energized in praying, then engage with the body of Christ. Here we are a house of prayer. It's what we do. If it's a bit like we can't just keep rocking up, and the culture of who we are will affect us. You're affected turning up on a Sunday. There might be some people in the room, you just don't like them. You hate their guts, and I don't know why. You've probably never seen them. I mean, how many of you have seen guts? I've only seen them a couple of times. It's not nice. But you just don't know. So what I'm saying is the body of Christ is a tremendous environment where we can put stuff right, where we can be forgiving, trusting, and loving. Why? Because love gives first. Love has to give first. Jesus kind of expressed it this way. He gave everything that he was upwards. He lived very vertically. And we can be very strong on that vertical sense. And here we are strong on it. We believe that there's a tremendous relationship in our worship and our word and in the way that we pray. We know that. If you don't know that, come and discover, and we'll remind you of what that is, what that looks like. It's a tremendous vertical expression. But equally, and I would say equally, Jesus also lived very horizontally. What I mean by that is he literally said, I will lay down my life for you. You can't get any more horizontal than that. So here we find Jesus showing me, showing us the example of how do we want to live in the body of Christ. I want to live fully for God and fully for you. I want to be very vertical in my heart, in my expression, in the way that I seek God and pursue God. But man, I want to live very horizontal in the way that I want to lift you. Well, if you put a vertical with a horizontal, what kind of shape does that give you? A cross. Which is why Jesus said, didn't he, a couple of times, if you really want to live like I'm living now, if you want to live in your church like that, if you want to live in your small groups like that, you've got to lay something down. And the best thing that we have to lay down, the most precious thing that we have, is our lives. So does it really, really matter if you've fallen out with someone that you're right and they're wrong? Does it really matter? Doesn't it matter more that you put it right? Doesn't it? Does it really matter if you have a view and it's A and they've got a view that it's B? Does it really matter as long as it doesn't cause division and tension? Does it really matter if you like it loud and you like it quiet? Does it really matter? Actually, I don't care. What I'm interested in is in it we meet with God. Does it really matter if you pray standing up or sitting down? No, not really, as long as we get what God's given us. Does it really matter? Do you know what I'm saying? Does it really matter? I think the things that matter to God are things like faith, hope, and love. That's why those things remain longer. And I'm just convinced that in the body of Christ, here in this congregation, in your home, in your workplace, God sets us up because, and I've said this before, the only way that we can really, really love God is when we really love someone. The only way that we really, really know that we have God's forgiveness and God's grace, and we surely do, is that when we offer it freely without an edge to it to somebody sat near us. Jesus said, didn't he, how can you possibly have a life when you confess to love and live for God that you can't see if you can't love and live with the people that you can? Did you say ouch?
Yes.
Yeah. You're probably the only one brave enough to say ouch. But we all live in the same thing. This is what I love about the small group dynamic, is that there's no leaders in it, really. There's someone that kind of just keeps the thing on point. But actually, no, we want everybody to be brilliant. That's right, isn't it? Is that right? Is that okay to say that? I'm not nicking your job, am I? So this morning was about what? It was about prayer. It is about heart. We've heard about the homeless. We've heard about people's passion for 16 years, even though they're 80. So what? We've heard about someone who, you know, where's Albert gone? Over here somewhere. Who, Albert has got enough to do, you know, moving up and down, and suddenly, within 12-minute window, loses his job. And within 7 days, gets a better one back. Why? Because that's how the body works. But in that setting, it's not I'm on my own. I'm part of something bigger than me. And when we have a breakdown in relationships, whatever that looks like, a disagreement, we just have the wrong perception, we just hear A, but actually B was said, the enemy will use anything at all to give a reason why we just can't flow in the unity that we have in Christ. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we have to be all of the same thinking. It says be like-minded, not the same-minded. Nowhere does it say we all have to look the same, dress the same. But what it does say is keep the spirit of unity through the bond of peace. When you gave your life to Jesus, when you received the Holy Spirit, we are made like one organism. Remember last week we were talking about the church is an organism, not an organization. What I love about the Spirit here is that we're all here to make it work. Why? Because I own it. And I just have an experience that when we own something, we don't criticize it. When we own our relationships, we don't criticize them. We try and construct them. When we own the relationships around us, what we create, we want to fill. I love the fact that, you know, Jamal and Murder, apparently yesterday at 4, there's hardly anybody there, and then you stay till 11. Buddy. Why? Because that's what the body's about. Yet Sunday is such a key aspect to who we are. It's when we celebrate. It's when we meet with God together. Why? Because, man, you provoke me. I can hear you. I can see you. I can feel you in my spirit pushing into God. It's like, actually, I don't know whether I want to meet with God. Oh, yes, I do, because that's what we're doing together. I don't know whether I want to give everything that I can in the offering, but I can feel it in my heart. Yeah, I do, because we're part of the body together. Oh, I don't know whether I might be giving small groups a bit of a miss next time because I've done it once. You know, I'm the lead. I should. But you know, I'm part of where we're going because I want to be there. Because if I'm not there, it's not the same. If you're not there, it's not the same. Why? Because in relationships in the body of Christ, every single one matters. There's no also-rans in the body of Christ. There's no, well, I could have chosen them, but there's no, here I am, Lord, send them. There's none of that in the body of Christ. We're all in it to win it. I think somebody's nicked that, haven't they? National Lottery. Jesus came up with that before they did. So we've got 6 minutes. This is really short. I don't feel like preaching. I just feel like chatting. But we're on a journey. Together in the body of Christ, there's one key word which I just want to leave you with. You can go and do a Bible study on this. You can do a Greek study on this. It's also in Hebrew if you want. There's one word which I think if we can grab it, if we can pray it through, not just give, what did you say, a mutter and a tut? What was it you called it? A sign and a tut? Excellent. Something like that. What I think Andrew was saying is rather than just give this an assent, is let's engage with this. And there's one word that comes out of Acts 2:42, and it's this word. It's called devotion. I just want to chuck this into your head, into your heart, into your hands. Is that the one reason, and always the one reason, why the body of Christ grows? A, it's because it's the will of God, but it's through the devotion of the people. What does devotion mean? It means there's something inside of me telling me what I should do before somebody else tells me what I ought to do. Devotion is, I'm just going to do this. Man, I want to do this. Not because I feel obliged, but because I want to do this. That's what changes us from being a slave to being a steward of God's house. Slaves do what they're told. But man, stewards want to make it happen. I don't want to be a observer in the house. Man, I want to make it work, and I think you do too, don't you? Most of these people do. I have no idea what's happening over here. We don't just want to be holiday makers. We want to be builders. How do we start first? Relationally. Quick to forgive. Slow to anger. Why is love patient? Why can we be patient? Because love is patient. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Aww. Love is always right when it's God's love. But I love the challenge that every dynamic of God's nature, everyone, peace, grace, mercy, I mean, we come out with all the Galatian stuff, and every single aspect of the nature of God must be seen in the body of Christ. Everyone. When Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you, that's for everybody. This is how I show my love, is that I serve everybody. I lay down my life, live very horizontally, so that people connect with this vertical expression that I have with God. That's not just for a few, it's for all of us. Do you understand that? So I love the spirit in this house. Am I having a moan about anything? Not particularly. This whole morning has been about relationship, love, needs being met, giving glory to Jesus, about somebody not having a job 1 minute, having it the next. About someone stepping out in a different nation and suddenly the grace of God is there. But man, we're all in this. I love it when Myrna said, yeah, we play from the Middle East and we might do it in 99 Congreve House, but we're there with them. Man, we're there with them. Our hearts are with you. Our minds are with you. Our thoughts are with you. That's the body of Christ. That's how it works. Is this making any sense to anybody? Because I had some notes there, but God's kind of toasted those. I'm just not going to bother preparing anything at all ever for the rest of my life. Thanks very much. So let's all stand up, shall we? And this is your time now. Now, if you're already thinking, it's getting near 11:30, you've missed the point. If you're already thinking, oh, well, I need to go and do something else, you're missing the point. The point is love puts us in. It doesn't take us out of our responsibility. I know what the time is. There's a clock there. We all know what the time is. But you've always got time to go and say, mate, I love you and I appreciate you. We should always have time to say, can we pray together? You should always have time to say, is there anything I can do to help you this week? If we can't have time to do that, we need to replan our schedule. Or we need to look at the pressure of the next minute with love as the setting and say, no, next minute, you can wait. You can wait because there's somebody in the room that needs something from God. Is that all right? So please, have a look around the room. There's some brilliant people here. You are cool, chosen, very good-looking people. And I just want you to take 5, 6, 7 minutes just to go to people and say, what can I do to help you this week? Just start like that. It's very practical. Can I pray? Can I agree with you on anything? Do you need a lift somewhere? If you find that there's somebody in the room here that actually, I would sooner not go and ask them that, then maybe you just need to sort something out first. Which is what I did before I started to speak. Because it don't work unless you do it. Is that okay? So we've got a few minutes. Did you want to say something? Albert, let's welcome Albert back again.
I don't say much and I don't say it often. It's probably be the last time for a long time. So I'm making the most of it. But I just want everyone here to know that you've got a part in this church, that you have got a part to build this church. And one thing that we all must remember, we must pray for the leadership. We must not criticize them. We must pray for them. Because they are also just like us, one of us. They've got faults and failings, but they've got the heart in the right place for God. So I believe also, even though, as Jonathan has spoken, we will go ahead, but keep in mind, the leadership needs your prayers because the enemy is coming in. In this country, we say we've got freedom. We've got a certain amount of freedom, but it's encroaching. Because I was just reading in the newspaper the other day, only 30% are prepared to declare that they are Christians. That doesn't mean to say what they're standing is, they are prepared to declare. It's only 30%. All the other countries, they get beheaded. Our time is coming for persecution. We need to stand together. Together, together, we will overcome. Not only on our own strength, but together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You'll note that I never gave him any money at all to say that. And neither will I. But just take a few moments to put some skin on some skin. To put some words in someone's ears that have some meaning and some value.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.